I'm going to read you a paragraph out of the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. I'm going to read verse 9. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understanding, great knowledge, when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as the words can be. Now, we know that when you turn over to another one written by Nephi, he said he delighted in plainness. And Nephi talked to the people, and in their own language, as plain as any man could speak to them. And he said he desired plainness. And when he desired plainness, you can know that he talked to them that way, so that the things was plain to them. But you don't need to go too far today before you see people that fill this scripture, the different things that they're in, their wickedness and stiff-neckedness and ignorance, and they won't search knowledge. They think they know. And a lot of times, well, now I'm going to tell you an instance of people thinking they know. I was raised and reorganized, and I'm telling this on myself now, this one. And I thought that was the perfect church. There couldn't be a thing wrong with it. It was just exactly as I had been taught it. When I got grown up, and I didn't get grown up, you might say, for several years after I married even. But when I got grown up and began to study for myself, I could see a flaw here and a flaw there. Well, you know, sometimes, even after I joined the Church of Christ, I didn't think too much about some things. But as we get older, and we begin to study, maybe, shall I say, a little harder, a little deeper into the scriptures, and we're kind of like the two little boys playing, and the one says to the other, and he said, "How come every time I come over here, your grandma's always reading the Bible?" The other little boy says, "I don't know, unless she's cramming for her finals." And I'll tell you right now, that's something what we all need to start doing, even the young ones, to start cramming for our finals, because you don't learn it all in 30 minutes. You don't learn it all in 30 years. So the sooner we start to learn and searching those scriptures, the better chance we have of learning the things that we should do to order our lives in a straight and narrow path. The next scripture I want to read you, I don't want to take up too much time reading, telling you these little stories, but sometimes they come in to kind of illustrate what we're trying to tell you out of the scriptures. Just right over in the next chapter, I'm going to start in with verse 2. And I'm going to, shall I say, read a scripture or two and skip a scripture or two. Some of it isn't just exactly, well, won't hurt. But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Scriptures, Holy Spirit, and it hath no place in them. Wherefore they cast many things aside which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as a great work, especially unto my people. Now, he's speaking here of his people in the latter days, which are our Indians of today. But of course, we are his people by adoption, so it's for us too. And we had better kind of look into things, because here he says, they cast many things away and esteem them as things of naught. Now, we can't do that and learn the entire scripture, because we've got to have everything that's in there, and then pray to the Heavenly Father that he will give us understanding of what's in there. We can read a lot of this here, it's in these scriptures, and not have any understanding of what we read. I believe it's over in Proverbs. It says, with our getting, get understanding. And if we don't get understanding with what we read, well, it's just a shrug of the shoulders, I guess. I'm going to drop down to verse 5 now. It says, and the words which I have written, weakness, will he make strong unto them, for it persuadeth them to do good, and it maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaks of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in him and endure to the end, which is eternal life. Now, you see what he's telling us here? That what he's written in weakness, Christ will make strong to us if we try and get his strength and his spirit to be with us to give us that understanding of what we read. And it says it persuadeth them to do good. Well, if we would say it persuaded them to do bad, we'd know it didn't come from Christ. But when it persuades them to do good, you know it comes from Christ. And it also persuades us to endure to the end. And that don't mean to endure to the end in rejecting anything that's in here, or going on about our life just like we had never read the scriptures. Well, we see on every side of us little instances in, shall I say, our neighbors. Some of them don't have any, shall I say, scripture home to go to on Sunday. The Sunday, just another day with them. Some of them pretend religion and still yet don't worship Christ. They do things on Sunday that you and me are not supposed to do. We see that every once in a while. But to go ahead to the reading. It speaketh harshly against sin. See, there's another thing that it does for us. It speaks harshly against sin. And if we go over in Mosiah, I think we could find out in there where he says that there's so many ways of committing sin, but he wouldn't even try to tell them all the ways that they could commit sin. You've got to study them scriptures to find out how many ways and the different ways, and we better find them out before we get too old, too. We need to learn a lot of these things when we're younger. I can tell you that from my own life. According to the plainness of the truth, wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. Showing here that we can let that spirit of the devil creep in, and some of the things that are written that step pretty hard on our toes, we can get a little bit riled up about it. And it says for us not to do that. He says, I glory in plainness, I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say the Jew because I mean them from whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ and enter into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. That gives us something to say what we should do and how long. And if we understand the days of probation, we know that that's our day here on this earth, in this human body. It says over in, I believe it's 2 Nephi, about the first chapter, and if my memory is good, verse 107 says we shall. I'm going to see if I'm right. It says, and the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. That shows here that our days here on earth were prolonged, that we might repent and come to God and do the things which he tells us to do. It says, while in the flesh. It's not going to happen in the spiritual world over on the other side. It's going to happen right here. And we don't know when our day is coming to an end. Some days it's as hard as it is for me to get around. I think maybe it's coming too quick. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jews, and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words, and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye will believe in these words. For they are the words of Christ, and he hath given them unto me, and they teach all men that they should do good. Now you know there's one scripture that tells us if we know to do good and do it not, to us it is sin. And you know, whenever we have sin, we've got something that we should repent of and ask his forgiveness and get away from that sin and do it no more. You remember the woman that was brought to him had been taken in adultery, and how he wrote on the ground And when they kept questioning what should happen to her, and telling how Moses, under the law, said she should be stoned, and he said, "The one among you, I'll use my words, that is without sin, cast the first stone." And he went right on the ground again. And they went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, and left. Their own conscience convicted them, and they left. When he rose up, and nobody left but the woman. And he said, "Woman," said, "has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man could condemn thee." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." But he said, "Go and sin no more." And that's what we need to understand, is that go and sin no more. That little story is all written in the scriptures. That ain't one that I made up. I'm not like the little girl when her dad was reading to her at bedtime. And she said, "Dad, is that true, or are you just preaching?" Now, you know, that's a hard thing for a little kid to say to her dad. Is that true, or are you just preaching? Otherwise, insinuating that his preaching wasn't all true. Now, if I get up here and preach something that ain't true, and you can catch me at it, I want you to say something, because I don't want to do that. I want the truth. And nothing but the truth. And I want the whole truth. You know, there's a time when you go into the courts of the land, and you go onto the witness stand, and you have to swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And right there, they make a liar out of you on the witness stand. Because when one lawyer will ask you a question and you start to answer, the other will object, and the judge won't let you tell it. So you can't tell the whole truth there. But you can tell the whole truth out of the scriptures. All you got to have is the whole truth and all the scriptures. And if you don't understand the truth that's in the scriptures, He's the one that we can always go to, and he will help us to understand. I'm going to turn over and I didn't even look to see if I had read all I was going to out of that. No, I think I had. I'm going to read out of the third chapter of Jacob. It looks like I'm going to have a couple of readings out of there. The first one is going to be 14, 15, and 16. "Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from him, from his hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that he counseleth in wisdom, and in justice, and in great mercy over all his works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten Son." Is that plain to all of you? We've got to be reconciled to him. We've got to seek his counsel. And his counsel in wisdom, and justice, and great mercy over all his works. What more can you ask for counsel? I've been trying to tell you that we need to counsel the Lord in all of our doings, in our studying. If we counsel Him in our studying and be sure that we're not misled. For you know that evil spirit can appear even as an angel of light. There is some of them spoken of here in the Book of Mormon that even an angel appeared before them and told them what to go out and preach. And they were preaching contrary to the scriptures of Christ. But that angel deceived them. Till they was teaching things that wasn't of Christ, and they were deceiving the people. Some of them came to a bad ending. One that we've been studying about in our scripture study, we haven't got to the end of it yet, but he repented. Some of them didn't. Well, that's all aside from what I was talking about. I'm going to start with verse 19, and I'm going to read several verses. Behold, my brethren, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy to the understanding of men. Not something in the corner that man can't understand, but to the understanding of men. For the Spirit speaketh the truth and lieth not. Now he's talking in the Spirit of Christ there. It speaks the truth. Now, just like I was talking about, these that some come in and preaching to the people, deceived by that evil spirit and teaching things that wasn't the truth. But this one here, Spirit of Christ, speaks the truth. Wherefore it speaks of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be. Wherefore these things are manifest unto us plainly for the salvation of our souls. Now if we can get close enough to God that he will witness unto these things to us in such a way that we will understand them, it'll be to the salvation of our souls. We have to watch. Sometimes we have to question that spirit. Now, you know, the spirit of that evil one can't stand much questioning. But the Spirit of God can and will help us. But behold, we are not witnesses alone of these things, for God also spake them unto prophets of old. That means that in the Old Testament and in the ones that they write about here, you can find out where God spake to them, to the prophets of old. But behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness, and killed the prophets, and sought for things that they could not understand. You know, that's happening today. Some people are wanting things that they can't understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God hath taken away his plainness from them, and delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand, because they desired it. And because they desired it, God hath done it that they may stumble. Now, you know, that shows a thing there, that if we desire things that we can't understand, things, and God takes away the plainness out of it and delivers it to something to us because of our desire, we may stumble because that's taken away, that's going to be a hard fall. Because that fall may last clear till our dying day. And if it does, well, we'll be standing on the outside looking in instead of being on the inside looking out. And that's something we don't want. I'm going to turn back to the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi again. I want to read several verses back there. No, wait a minute. I'm getting... No, that's right. Fourteenth chapter, 4, 5, and 6. Wherefore I have said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Now you don't need to look any farther than the words of Christ if you want to know what you should do. There's the written word right there to tell you so. Wherefore, now, after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what ye should do. I don't know how to tell you any more than to feast upon these words of Christ, because they will tell you what you should do. They would only tell you what you should do, but they'll tell you a lot that you should not do. I'm going to turn over to 1 Peter. The first chapter. I'm going to read just two verses here, 24 and 25. Says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You don't need to take my word for it. You can read it right there. Now I'm going to go back to my Book of Mormon again. I'm going to go to Mosiah, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start in with verse 81. But there is a resurrection, wherefore the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. That's if we obey him. The sting of death will be swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world. yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, and there can be no more death. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation. It looks like there that the works that we do, and there's one scripture that says there can be no work nor knowledge in the grave whither thou goest. So we got to work while we're right here in this flesh, while we've got knowledge that we can go by and learn of Christ and his ways. I'm going to turn over to 1 John. First chapter. I'm going to begin with verse 5 and read through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Didn't I just read a bit ago where Christ was the light? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Folks, some of that pretty plain, pretty hard. But it's something that we should all stop to think about. Going to turn to Ecclesiastes for a couple. In the third chapter, I want to read verses 14, 15, and 16. It says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. See what the man saw, that we can't get clear away from iniquity, for it is there. There's another scripture that says almost likewise, but I'm not going to turn to that. I'm going to turn over here and read you one more verse, I guess. Maybe two verses. In chapter 12, 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Is that plain? For God shall bring every work under judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's all going to be there at the judgment day, whether it's good or whether it's evil. And we have the choice here of doing either good or evil. So let's try hard to learn all His commandments and do good.
This evening at 7 o'clock, when I'm preaching by Brother Marvin Carroll, we'll close number 74. 74.